On Sunday afternoons, we're taking a look in the book of 1 Corinthians. I invite you to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We've been taking a look in this chapter about the use of the languages. It's relative to gifts given. And the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that in the church there at Corinth and other churches, going forward, there needs to be words spoken with understanding. Words spoken with understanding. The desire of the apostle is that all would be blessed with gifts from the Lord to use for the Lord's service and witness. For the time is coming, even as our brother is being used of the Lord, a prophet, a New Testament prophet of the Lord, if you will, penning down the scriptures by inspiration of God, an apostle of the Lord, for the purpose of being a witness and a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a witness of that going forward. That transition team, the apostles are, and this of the keys of the kingdom, having been given to Israel, and now having been given to his churches. He is the minister of the Lord, even to help this church in Greece at Corinth in dealing with the problems that she has. I mentioned to you last time how it is when we look at the epistles written to the churches, our thinking would be, my thinking would be and has been that the things that the apostle has written to them are the things that they are strong in. But what we find in this epistle is that the things that are written are the things that they are weak in and they need instruction in. So I'm not declaring anything new or anything dogmatic, but it might be a way for us to take a look at the epistles to the churches, things that they were strong in needed not be written about, but things that they were weak in needed to be written about. And so that is the premise of the letters, and then we have them now in our time as the churches of the Lord, as Olmsted Baptist Church, a church of the Lord. Instruction from all of these for our operation, for the things that are important, for the things of the Lord given to us by the Lord in their place. And so we left off last time about there's to be order. God's not the author of confusion. It's a bit of peace and order in the churches. We have our, I kind of did something as I was making a radio broadcast for the new month, and we've got an introductory song, and I was tempted to come and bring that and play it for you just to get an understanding about it, but I think we can understand how it would be. This church had a problem with people speaking over top of others. My revelation or my tongue, my psalm is, it needs to be heard first before yours, so I'm going to go now. And so they would get their click. There was divisions amongst them. And so whoever was in the church that would listen to them, they'd get them over here and tell about whatever it is they had to tell. And then others would do that. And there's no unity. And the brother has made it very, very clear there's to be unity in the church, no schism in the church, one body with one purpose, one calling, one Lord, one leader. And what I did in the radio broadcast is we have an introductory clip of a song that lasts about 45 seconds to a minute. We had the choir some time ago, or those that wanted to sing, and we recorded that. And I play those clips of a few different songs introductory to our radio broadcast. Well, what I did is it was time to roll that over and bring another one in. And so in the program that I use, I brought a new one in, but I didn't delete the old one. And then I just went ahead and hit play. And what that program will do is wherever you've got that spaced in the program, it'll play it where you have it set in time. Well, I can't remember what the songs are, to my chagrin. I can't remember what they are. How Firm a Foundation is one that we use, and Christ Receive Us Sinful Men and is another one that we use, and some others, among some others. And you know what? Those are good songs. They tell about the truth of God's Word. But you know how it sounds when both of them are playing at the same time? Terrible. Terrible. You can't understand anything. And so it's kind of interesting how that kind of shows the point. There is order in the church, and that's what's being discussed here, is order in the church. These that have gifts and were near unto the apostles and near to that early time that have been given gifts by the Lord, there's not a prohibition on them using those gifts and being a witness to the world. Okay? And so if they had those gifts, they needed to use them. But the time of seemingly the temptation of showing off with these gifts in the church, it's come to pass. The Word of God is what the churches need, what this church at Corinth needs, and what we need. He said the church comes together into one place. It needs to be unto edification. So that's the reason we have an order in our services. That's the reason we don't have two specials sung at the same time, and we don't have two teaching or preaching at the same time, or a number praying at the same time. We do so in order. Now, the Apostle Paul is given a bad rap in that he is a woman hater. The thing is the Apostle Paul has come up with nothing new. This is not original with him. And a statement is made to that effect in this very chapter. He's just relaying what God has given in his word. And so we come to this verse here in verse number 34 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. It says here, or let's read verse number 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And so the apostle is given a bad rap by some, saying that he is a woman hater, and being the apostle, he can lay down this law in the New Testament church time, to put the squelch on women. No. No, this is the order of the Lord. This is not something original with Paul. But he is dealing with them and some things that they have. We saw in Joel how the Lord said he would pour out his spirit upon his sons and his daughters. The Lord said that. I remind you again, and I'm mulling this over in my heart and mind, wanting to understand its right place, where Brother Philip, I believe a deacon in the first church, ultimately become a pastor in the town of Caesarea, had four daughters that prophesied. And that was the Lord's doing, his promise, that he had promised that he would pour out his spirit upon them. There were indeed women that had those gifts. The scripture testifies that it's the case. But now it's come time. The time of transition is passing. And the full time of the Word of God, the New Testament Scriptures being at hand, and for things to be in the order that they should be from then on to where we are now. It says here, let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, are the women silent when we sing? No, they're to sing. And I think here that indeed, if we take this passage, which I'm not going to do now, but if we take this passage and look at other passages in the Scripture, that what is being conveyed here indeed is that the leadership in the church is for the men. That's what the Lord has given. And it's not because men are better. It's actually, I believe, it's very much because men in our daddy Adam said, we knew what's better over what God had said. The scripture declares that the woman, that she was beguiled by Satan. But Adam full well knew what he was doing and going and hearkening unto her word that the fruit was okay, rather than what God said, you eat of that fruit, son, and the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die. So therefore, God has put that responsibility upon men. Men also, the man, Adam, he was created first. And the woman was taken from his rib, was created from his rib. And so there is an order. The woman was created for the man, not for the woman. Yet in the marvel and the mystery and the greatness of God and the creation, men are born of women, aren't they? And so each one has their place in the order that God has made. The Lord says in the Scriptures that the woman is the weaker vessel, and we as men need to know that, acknowledge that, and help them in that. And that each one, we men and women, have their place. It does not mean that women are less. It does not mean that men are more. It's the order and the place that God has made for us. God has not messed up on our gender. And then we live in a day where some believe that God has messed up on the gender that we have. Each one of us has. He's not messed up. And we need to be and find contentment in the gender that he has given us. You know, there are those that wish that they could be something else. There are those that wish that they could do the other gender better. But the thing is God has put us right where we are, where we need to be, and we need to follow that. We buck against that. We buck against our Creator. And this whole gender confusion thing that's at hand is just that. Mankind is hiding less behind a veil and behind a pretense of other things and coming out even more forcefully and more boldly, more with greater boldness in our day, fighting against the will and the design of God. That's what's at the heart of all these issues that are at hand in our day and our culture. What it is with abortion, for example, it's just fighting against the sanctity of life created by God. And life and death is in the hand of the Lord, not men. And what that is that's just a defiance against God for the sake of convenience and being the murderous way of mankind being revealed for the sake of his own convenience. Sick. It's sick and it's wicked indeed. So the Lord's made a place for us, and that is in the church that the woman are to keep silence, silence in the leadership of the churches. Now, does this mean that women or ladies don't have good ideas? Certainly they do have good ideas. They do. And a man that's married is a fool if he doesn't listen to the advice and the ideas of his wife. He's a fool if he's dead, because the Lord has given a wife to a man to be a helpmeet. Is she always right without fail? No. Is he always right, brethren? Are we always right without fail? No. But we're there. She's given as a helpmeet to the man. And so they can have ideas. They can have thoughts. And there's a channel and a way for that to be manifested in the church. There is a work in the church that the ladies of our church can do. There is. And it's a blessed work. And it's a work that can even yield blessing above and beyond what we can obtain, men. The thing is we're all called to meet what the Lord has called us individually to do. And that's where we stand. We're not in a competition one with another. We are following and running the race set before us by our Lord. And so the Lord ordains that the women are to keep silent in the churches, silent in the leadership, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. When we take a look at this word speak in the scriptures, forms of the word speak, forms of the word talk are at hand, forms of the word say are part of this word as we take a look in the way that it's translated in this King James translation, also forms of the word preach. Women don't preach. And we need to communicate well with one another in our marriage, but it's not good for women to preach. It's not right for women to preach in the church. It's good for our women to be willing to in certain capacity to teach one another, isn't it? It's good for the women to teach the children. It's good for the men to teach the children. Brethren, we are teaching the children. Whether we have a class or not, we're all teaching somebody something, good or bad, righteous or wicked. We do so. But the order and the leadership and the order of the services in that, the women are to keep silence in this leadership. It's not permitted for them to speak in any wise. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So now in the leadership of the church, And I'm personally of the opinion that if the church would look to answer a woman or ask a woman for an answer for something regarding her life or her accountability into the church, that she should well speak for herself. I think that's appropriate and right. We as members are accountable one to another in the church, but in regards to leadership of the body, it's not relegated to the women; it's relegated to the men. And we are responsible, brethren. I think a testimony of salvation is well to be heard by the church from the mouth of a woman, because I can't interpret about the soul. As pastor, I know questions to ask. I understand that. But the conveyance of what the Lord has done for one, that's what the Lord has done for even a woman for saving her, is the testimony that she holds about the Lord's salvation of her soul. Okay? So we have to be careful in being so constraining about everything, let me give you some things. There's some brethren that we love and know amongst churches that we would fellowship with and such, that would say that the women, they should not have a vote in the business of the church, because that is giving them a voice. They have a voice in that. I'm of the opinion that the Lord saved men and women and added men and women to the church. The leadership and call of responsibility is upon the men, but each and every one of us as members of the body have a place and a responsibility in the church. We all have a commitment to discern and understand the leadership of the Lord. You know, we're considering this about a revamping the stairwell out back. We need to do what the Lord would have us to do about this, not what we want to do. And each and every one of us is responsible to the Lord for that. Some brother would say, if you let the women vote, it could get out of whack and get out of hand, and the women could outvote the men and usurp authority that way. Well, sure it could. Just like we men can get crazy and out of our minds and do some stupid stuff too. See, just because something can happen, that's not a justification for doing something else that would prohibit something else from happening. We need to follow what the Lord gives us to do. And so some of those things that are out there in the world that you might, or out there amongst churches that you might hear about. Silence. The women are not permitted to speak, to teach, to preach in the church, or to be in the leadership. But to be under obedience is also saith the law. Well, let's go over here and let's take a look at this. The law can be, in its most general sense, can refer to the Old Testament. Okay, that's one way that the word law can be used. It can refer certainly, and it is inclusive of the Ten Commandments. The law also is that ceremonial and sacrificial law given to Israel in that. So we've got to understand about what law is being talked about. And so from the standpoint of the Old Testament, we'll just take it from that standpoint. What does the law say? Well, the Lord said this. When Adam in Genesis chapter 3, a woman partook of the fruit, it was forbidden by God. Adam had gone so far to tell her, just don't even touch the tree, I'll take care of it. That's what she relayed unto Satan when he came down and had possessed the snake and was speaking to her in that. She took of the fruit, she saw it wasn't poisonous, saw it was pleasant, it tasted good. And there was some promises associated with it about making a person wise and stuff, to know things that they didn't know. Of course, the Lord had set that tree and set that fruit apart for Adam and his wife to remember that God is God. And he blessed them with everything. Can we hear that? He blessed them with everything, but said, don't eat of that tree. Just so they would remember their place. Our place. But when Adam came along, having seen that his wife had eaten of the tree, he was in a strait, wasn't he? Follow after God. God had said, you eat of it, you'll die. He's looking at his wife, at woman. He's saying, she's going to die. I like her. I don't want to be without her. And he willingly took of that fruit and disobeyed our God, his God. And so when that had happened, they're trying to provide their own cover-up with those fig leaves, which is just so silly, a fig leaf being so small. They're afraid of God when he comes down to visit in the garden of the cool of the day. They're found hiding from God. Why in the world would you hide from God, who is blessed with all so wonderful things, with life, and such a grand place and wonderful place to live and fellowship with him? And of course, the Lord knows what has been done and what they have done, and he deals with them. In verse number 16, this is what the Lord says regarding them and their fall. Unto the woman he saith, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. The Lord, because of sin, seemingly, and whatever it was, some speculate that it would have been with woman, that maybe she might have been able to conceive twice a year. Twice a year, rather than monthly. And interesting, and I'm, again, not dogmatic about this, but the Lord said he's going to multiply the conception. Wouldn't it be something that the Lord would multiply it by six, and the woman could then typically conceive once a month. Why? Because sin is going to be destructive towards mankind. And the Lord said, I'm going to multiply your conception, your ability to have children, and the sorrow that is involved with that. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. It's going to be a difficult thing. It's going to be a difficult thing. It's going to be maybe harder than it was going to be before. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. That's going to be her place of contentment, her place of security, her place of protection. The Lord has now said, because of sin, that she is going to need her husband, going to need him in even a greater way. The Lord had already made them one flesh. Twain made one flesh. But this is where this is going to be your place, darling, is right there at the side of your husband. From the standpoint of fulfillment in this world and the design of God, of the genders and of the family, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Just like we saw earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians about the headship of Christ, that the head of man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Speaking of Christ, when we understand when the name Christ is used, it's talking about the Son of God having become flesh to be the Christ, to be the Messiah. Okay? So Christ has that rolled up in it, the Lord Jesus, our Lord, the Son of God, as a man. And his head is God. There is a leadership. There is a order. There is a headship, a leadership that is at hand. He says here in 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Of course, in a general sense regarding the law, we've read that there in Genesis, what the Lord said from the beginning. And there's nothing that trumps that. What the Lord said the design would be still holds true till today. Again, that doesn't mean that women are doormats. Doesn't mean that women are less. It's the order that God has set for the reasons that he has set it for. But then if we take a look at the law, let's take a look and consider just in our hearts and minds here and what we know about what the Scripture says regarding the ceremonial, sacrificial, and worship law given unto Israel. What does the law say about women? It doesn't say anything. The law speaks nothing. The law speaks nothing, never mentioning in the Scripture about a woman to lead, to read, we're talking about in the Holy Convocation, to sacrifice, to do anything. It's given by the Lord and to the men to lead in that. Now, there is that of the women coming and bringing personal sacrifices for personal sins. There's that of the women to offer for their cleansing and purification after they've had a child born unto them. There's those things. But as far as in the worship of the Lord, there's nothing mentioned. As also saith the law, the law says that in that leadership, in worship, it has been given by the Lord unto the men. And we're responsible for it. Now, Brother Jim, what about those prophetesses that are over there in the Scriptures? Yeah, I say, what about those prophetesses? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I've said it before, and I'll go on record saying it again. I think what the testimony is there, you know who appointed those women as prophetesses? That was not their own idea. That's what the Lord did. And you know why the Lord did it? The reason he did it is because the men of that day were so sorry, not meeting the responsibility that they had in service, following knowledge about the Word of God and worship of the Word of the Lord and his Word. And so the Lord, he's going to get his will accomplished. And for there to be prophesying in Israel at that time, he would even call a woman to do it. And it's a shame. It's a shame to the men of the day not being qualified to be called of the Lord for such a calling as that. You can go check that out and see what you think. Let me know. So in the law, it speaks by never mentioning that a woman is to lead or to read or to sacrifice in that. And it says here in verse number 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. In the meeting together, the assembly, for the worship at hand, and there might be a time of in a worship service, in a meeting together to worship, that there would be question or desiring to have understanding about things as the assembly comes together for the sake of a worship service. And I believe that the church does determine we come together for many reasons, okay? And as we meet together, and it's not a thing of place, it's a thing of purpose of the church. When we do meet together to have a worship service before our Lord, the men are to lead in that. And the women are not to be asking questions in that setting and in that situation. That's the design of the Lord when we meet together to worship. See, understand that the Jews and this of the synagogue comes from a place where they would meet together to sing and to look into the Word of God, hear the message of the Lord and such as that. But remember how it is in the days of the Apostle Paul that we read in the book of Acts, where he would go to the synagogue, and then kind of like I do at the end of services, any brethren have anything you want to say before we wrap up with a word of prayer, close out with a word of prayer? On that day in the synagogue, there would be a time where there would be, any of your brethren have anything to say, any word of admonition? And the Apostle Paul said, I'd like to speak. Not to be so by the women in the churches. It's to be done by the men. If a woman needs to learn, let her ask her husband at home. And if there's not a husband, I think indeed, I don't think that we compromise the Word of God, ask her brethren. In our day, ask her pastor. Ask a brother that she trusts in that. And brethren, it's a testimony and should be a conviction for us that we know and learn about the Word of God so we might be able to instruct and teach our wives and our children, our households. And sometimes there's all kinds of different situations that happen. Sometimes wives are saved before husbands are saved, and all kinds of different things that can happen. And the thing is, what we need to do is where we're at, we need to be working toward what the Lord would have us to be. And just because we might consider ourselves to be behind or not able or whatever, what is it that the Lord says in the book of James? Ask. You lack wisdom? Ask. God's got an abundance of it. Our Lord has an abundance of it. And you know what? He is cheerful to give it out. But we must seek His face regarding that. So here we see in this verse also, verse 35, and if they will learn anything, or these two verses, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, obedience to their husbands, obedient to the leadership in the capacity of the church, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the women to speak in the church. We see here areas, indeed, as we saw in previous chapters, regarding the headship of Christ, areas from areas regarding different things, and a reason for a head covering. It's to show submission to that place that the Lord has made for the woman. Not a lesser place, but the place He's made for her. And a place of leadership, men, that we need to take and do and follow very well. Verse 36. A challenge under the church at Corinth. Here from verse 26 on to the end, it's a direct address of the problems that are there at Corinth. Corinth's issues, the church at Corinth's issues. He's given different thinking and different understanding about how to manage certain gifts and how to put them in the right place and how they need to be going forward in the future. But at verse 26, he starts talking to them about their issues in regards to this. And then he gives this challenge, exhortation, admonition, and maybe a rebuke. Okay? Remember, this church has got divisions in it. This church is claiming different men as their hero. The only ones that have got it correct is those that claim Christ is their hero. Because Christ is our hero. Okay? But he says, what? Came the word of God out from you? Are you the originator of the word of God? Well, the answer is no. No. Or came it unto you only? See, there's an attitude evidently at Corinth where they think that they have liberty, and he speaks to them of liberty. They have knowledge, but he says, be warned, knowledge can puff up, okay? Where they think that they can take what God has given and do something more or do something different or change it. He says, the word of God original with you? He said, I think we can understand that he's saying to them, he's causing them to think about this. How did you find out about the word of God? It was this very man sent by the Lord to Corinth to bear the word of God unto them. It didn't originate with them. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet, which he's talked about earlier, or a man thinks himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So we as Lord's people and Lord's churches, we do have some commandments. We do have an order. We do have a commission. We do have a pursuit. And it's from the Lord God Almighty. And he said, if there's a man amongst you that thinks that he's a prophet, that thinks he's spiritual, let him acknowledge that what I have declared is the truth from God Almighty. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. He's at a point here that if they will not hear, let them just go on not hearing. Because why? It's time for us to move on to the work that the Lord has for us to do. The work of the church is not to be divided. The work of the church is not to be bickering once among another. The work of the church is not to be respecter of persons one another or self-glorification. The work of the church is to fulfill the commission that the Lord's given us. And thereby let the world know, our part of the world, and that we can engage and have around us to know about Christ and his gospel and his ability to save, to baptize the believers, and then to teach those that are in the church and that come into the church by baptism, by faith in the Lord, by baptism, to teach to observe what the Lord's given us to do, repeat. Go, repeat the same. It's simple, it's short. And there's a lot in it that we need to pursue. If any man be ignorant, and what that word ignorance is talking about, just doesn't know, let him be ignorant. Can't lay it out more simple. Can't lay it out more plain. He is following what he has said up here in verse number 19. Words with understanding. Take it, or go ahead and keep on going and what you're going in away from the Lord. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. He said, for them, it's still there. It has its place. Don't forbid outside the church. Don't forbid in the church with an interpreter. But don't let it be everything about the service. Then remember that this gift of tongues, languages, it's for the unbelieving, not the believing. The believing need the word of God unto edification. Let all things be done decently and in order. So here we have this. Again, the Apostle Paul given a bad rap about being a woman hater. But that's not the case. Our Lord has given an order and a place for us all. And this is here to help us to know and these things of the headship, the token of the head covering, the order given by the Lord, a token for women to know the place made for them by God in submission to him by submitting to their men, to their husbands, to their leaders, and not to lead, not to teach, not to speak as the men do, but to be in obedience to their Lord. And a great reward lays ahead for all of us who obey our Lord and our calling. And so may the Lord help us, and indeed, here at our church, may all things be done decently and in order. It's a representation of our Lord and this lost and dying world, and to our children coming up amongst us. As it says in verse 26, let all things be done unto edifying. Chapter 15, we'll start on that next time, and what a wonderful chapter it is. Summary of the gospel. I tell you, become familiar with it. All of this 1 Corinthians is great. It's just wonderful. But if you get anything, make sure you get the next chapter, okay? I know that we've touched on some blessed things, things that we need, things that are good, things that are right. But I tell you, study this chapter of 1 Corinthians. Know this. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power and the punch of the gospel, the fulfilling completeness of the gospel, our Lord coming and raising from the dead. He is able not only to impute his righteousness unto us, but he is able to take, if you'll allow me, I think it is correct to impute life unto us. He is life. How can we give life to another? See, we're limited, aren't we? You know, a couple can come together and have a child, and that's by the design of the Lord. But to look out at somebody and say, I give you life, we can't do that, can we? But I tell you what our Lord does and has. And one day we'll have a body like him. So Lord willing, we'll look into that next time. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. Him and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. It's that simple. It's that not complicated. It's all in our Lord Jesus. Totally, all and completely resting in him and what he has done, what he has promised, what his faithfulness has brought, not ours. Believe him. Have faith in him. Trust him. Believe on his name, as the scripture says. Receive him. Those are the words used by our Lord in the scripture.